In this podcast, we will have a look at the poem How Do I Love Thee, which is a sonnet written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Before you continue with the podcast, it would be a good idea to read over the poem in your Poetry Speaks textbook. Our first heading is subject matter. Clearly, this poem is about love, about the intensity of love, about the unbridled joy that love can bring, and about the possibility of love surviving even after death. The speaker, who is of course the poet herself, responds to a question that her lover, Robert Browning, may have asked her. She repeats the question, "How do I love thee?" then counts a number of different ways that reflect her love for her partner. The second heading on your worksheet is theme. Love is the dominant theme in this poem. The speaker details precise evidence to answer the question about her affections for Robert Browning, who was her lover and future husband. The speaker seems convinced that her love is unconditional, in that it is given freely and purely. It is also an intense love that is felt with passion. Furthermore, the speaker is convinced that, with God's blessing, her love will strengthen in the next life, creating an everlasting bond with her lover. In quote 3, the poet outlines several ways in which she loves Robert Browning. Choose any three lines or phrases or images that give you a sense of the speaker's love in the poem. Write each quotation into your revision worksheet and add a brief comment to explain why you chose each quotation. The fourth heading is imagery. The speaker says that she loves her partner with passion and with purity. These two ideas are supported by the imagery in the poem. Each day, by sun and candlelight, she will love Robert Browning unconditionally, but also with humility. The speaker claims to love her partner with an intensity that she once felt for her now lost saints. This idea also links back to the statement that she loves purely. The speaker also claims to love with every fibre of her being. She refers to loving with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. The final image sees the speaker and her lover existing in the afterlife, blissfully enjoying each other's love in heaven with God's blessing. The next heading is language. The language in the poem may not be what you expect in a love poem. It is not overly romantic language, no mention of red roses here, but the language is a little like the speaker herself. Humble on the outside, with homely phrases such as "I love thee," "let me count the ways," and "by sun and candlelight," but brimming inside with intense feelings of joy and passion, which are reflected in the imagery of the searching soul and of the speaker loving passionately with every fibre of her being, her smiles, her tears, in fact with all of her life. We move on now to form. The poem is written in the form of a sonnet. A sonnet, you might remember, is a 14-line poem that usually deals with themes of the heart. Many sonnets have a regular rhyme scheme, and if you look closely at the endings of each of the lines in this poem, you should be able to see a pattern. Can you see a rhyme scheme of A, B, B, A in the first four lines? So, ways in line one rhymes with grace in line four, and height in line two rhymes with sight in line three. Would you agree that the rhyme scheme in the next four lines is also A, B, B, A? Look at lines 5 to 8 again and check if this is correct. What about the final six lines? Is the pattern CD, CD, CD? Can you find evidence of this pattern? You may have noticed that although the sonnet is written as a single stanza of 14 lines, it is divided into different sections. The first four lines are called a quatrain, that is, lines 1 to 4. Then lines 5 to 8 is another quatrain. And together, these eight lines are often referred to as an octave. The remaining six lines are called a sestet. There is a special name given to sonnets with this structure and with a regular rhyme scheme that begins with ABBA. They are called a Petrarchan sonnet. You can learn more about the Petrarchan sonnet in the Zoom In quick reference card in your Poetry Speaks textbook. Now we move on to sound. Well, we've already looked at the sounds at the end of each line, and we found evidence of a regular rhyme scheme or rhyme pattern. But can you see any other types of sound in the poem? For example, note how often that long E sound appears in the opening lines in words such as the, reach, being, ideal, need, freely. This repetition of a vowel sound is called assonance. It is a long, soft sound, ideal to match with the enduring feelings of tenderness and love that the speaker expresses in the poem. There are other sound effects in the poem. One interesting example is the poet's use of alliteration in the line, "I love thee to the depth and breadth and height." That repeated T sound is almost a whisper, showing the interesting balance between the feelings of exhilaration within the poet that are balanced with her humility and modesty, while also reminding us that her love was secret and that her father would not have approved of her relationship. We move on now to tone and mood. The poem is brimming with excitement and exhilaration that result from the speaker's joy at finding someone whom she loves dearly and sincerely. There is also a confident, assured tone in the poem, which points to a woman who is sure of her own feelings and the feelings of her partner for her. There is a really strong sense of the speaker's gratitude in the poem. She seems almost overwhelmed at the thought that she has found a man whom she loves deeply. The poet's exhilaration and joy also emerge strongly in the poem. The poet's former griefs are now replaced with smiles, and love, it is clear, has transformed her life. The positive, joyous mood is continued right to the last line of the poem, and even beyond it. The speaker is confident that, if God wills it, her love can continue and even deepen in the next life for eternity. Our final heading is personal response. So, what did you think of this poem? Do you think the speaker is exaggerating, or can you love someone with such intensity? Did the speaker convince you that she really was in love with her future husband, Robert Browning? Is there any one example of how she loves her partner that you found most genuine? And if you were the speaker's lover, what might you feel after reading this poem? Would you feel proud, or perhaps flattered, or maybe even humbled by the poem? Explore a few possibilities.